Good morning, good people. You are tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest who gets it from her mama. Okay. I've missed you guys so much, and I'm so happy to be back in the studio. I have so much tea to share with you guys, but first, I just want to check in with my producer, with the mostest. That doesn't rhyme. I need to find something that goes...
It doesn't have that ring, big of a ring to it. That's...
I need to find a word that go with producer. So how are you doing this morning, Luke?
I'm doing well, Brandi. It's the last couple of days have been cold.
Yeah.
It's been a whole thing. But, you know, it's wild to see New Orleans having almost a foot of snow.
That is so wild. From New Orleans to Texas to Florida, I think most of the United States is covered in snow right now, which is odd.
Yeah. Southern, the South is getting snow, and they're all kind of like, wait, what is...
Right, exactly.
I don't know what to do. Like, because I thought about it. I was like, okay, 7-8 inches of snow.
Not
like,
bad.
That's a lot. But they don't have snow plows.
No, they have nothing.
They have, like, nobody that, like, pre-treats the roads.
Mm-mm.
They, like, I'm sure the Walmart or whatever is out of shovels. But do they even keep?
Like, yeah, because why would you?
Right. Why would Walmart in anywhere in Louisiana have a snow shovel?
Yeah.
So I'm sure the few that maybe were in stock are already off the shelves.
Yeah.
And... if you try to Amazon something and they got no trucks to clear the, I don't even know how you do it. Like,
you don't
how are you
know
gonna
how
get
to survive?
How are you gonna get rid of all that snow down there? And it's just it's got to be pretty interesting.
I know one of my staff members actually lives in Florida. Wait, what part of Florida she lives in? Orlando, Florida. I was like, it starts with an O. I was about to say Oakland, but that's in California. But Orlando, she lives there, and she's saying that about an hour away is where most of the snow in Florida is, and they usually use Georgia trucks. But Georgia has snow, so they can't give them their trucks. So now they're just locked down and shut down. So it's weird, but it's also amazing to see people on social media enjoying the snow, like, you know, having snowball fights. That's pretty fun to watch.
I think they enjoy it maybe like to start. Like, there's some initial, like, I've seen a lot of like animal videos of like either dogs or farm animals and stuff like that in the South that are like experiencing snow for the first time. And those are kind of
fun to watch
because you see it through their experience for the first time. But like, I'm sure most dogs that live in Florida are like, okay, I'm done with this now. Like, this is, it was cool. I'm done.
And now I'm over it. Yeah, poor people across the world. We're in the Midwest. We're so used to snow. And it also gives us another level of appreciation for our own mayor, who often is under attack. And again, we're out of Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County. And she's often under attack because of snow plowing or not plowing. And I know this year they have started pre-planning. So I'm taking that she's taking the feedback and have done something. So shout out to you, our mayor, Satya. We appreciate when people, even in the complaints, is heard and something action is taken. I appreciate that. So shout out to you. And shout out to all the folks getting snow everywhere. We're like over here in the Midwest getting little bits of snow. And we're like, our snow plow people are like, I'm broke. Where's the money? I'm used to making money from December through January. And we're headed into February like, oh, we've gotten us a half an inch. So
yeah, it's wild because we got one decent snowfall and that's it. So it's a weird time where Bucks games are getting canceled in New Orleans and us here in Wisconsin are like, wait, we're the ones that are supposed to have the snow. We're not getting it.
And we enjoy the snow and we're ready. Like, we haven't been able to sled or ski. I mean, you can go ski because they make fake snow, but still, it's not the same when it's good snow. And for me, for folks who are just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. And we're just checking in with my producer.
I got to ask you, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Hey, and to be quite frank and transparent, which I'm very good at, which is part of my problem, but one of the things that I've been struggling with is my son. He's 8. He's so rambunctious. He's all over the place. And his father recently went to prison. So we had shared custody. So he'll go to him for 5 days, be with me. And I am feeling it, you guys. I have no break. I have no support. There's no grandparents to send him to. No aunties or uncles. You know, sometimes I can talk one of my older children into getting him. My kids are, just so you guys know, it ranged from the age of 8 to 30. So my I had an oopsie with him, and I'm over here with bad knees trying to keep up with him. And I'm like, it just gives me another level of appreciation for single moms. You know, like, I've always been a single mom, but not in my late 40s. It's a whole different experience. And just constantly reminding myself to stay grounded, to take care of myself, and to be patient with him. He's like all over the place all the time. And he's such a brilliant little boy. He's so creative and always exploring, always asking questions. But as a mom who's tired when I get home, I'm just like, please leave me alone for 5 minutes. You know, so just honoring that space. And just like this morning, I think, was extremely difficult. He was tired. He didn't want to go to sleep last night. So then he didn't want to wake up. So then we're running late. And then I have to tell him to do things 100 times. And because he's such a strong-willed child, now he wants to give me an explanation on why he doesn't want to do it or need to do it, which I've also encouraged. But in times when we have stuff to do, I need you to do it. So this morning, I wanted to scream and cry all at once. So again, shout out to our single moms who are doing the best that we can with what we got. Okay, so that's how I'm doing today, Luke. I literally want to cry right now.
Oh, geez. I'm so sorry. 8's a fun age, but I can understand too. Yeah. It's a handful.
Handful. Yeah. And it wasn't so bad when his dad wasn't in prison, right? Like, so prior to him committing fraud and going away, I had this, like, I can anticipate it. I just breathe through it. Like, oh yeah, you get this weekend, and that allowed for the downtime and the self-care and the reflection and all that stuff. And I do not get that. I do not get a break. So again, just shout out to folks. And as you guys know, if you're used to tuning in to the Black Conversion Show, we often start our conversations around Black relationships and relationships in general. And that's because we believe, or I believe, that Black relationships are revolutionary and they are political. And a lot of our Black psychiatrists and our Black leaders who studied relationships and study white supremacy and racism and the impact, one of the things that's often talked about in our community is a destruction of family, and how the family, the man, woman, two men, two women, whatever, however you create your family, allows for different things, like, you know, double the income at times, which also helps with providing resources and creating wealth and creating legacies. And money's important in a capitalistic society. It also provides for support. Like I'm saying in my world, like I'm like, sometimes I'm drowning and I'm like, where is this father? You know, but today I'm on the show. My co-host, Clyde, cousin Clyde, he didn't even tell me he's not going to be here today. He just a no show.
That's an unexcused absence, Clyde.
Yeah, all the time. And then you know what's so funny about Clyde? Yeah, I'm about to talk about him, tag him, okay? What's so funny about him is he'll be like, we need to do this for the show. We need to do that. And we need to pre-plan, and we need this. And at any moment he could not show up, you know? And I think that's funny. Like, and I think that's funny for most Black women in our lives. Like, we're stuck carrying the weight of most things, but people always have great ideas and want you to go this way. So shout out to you, cousin Clyde, for not showing up. So I can't even have the conversation around Black relationships like I want to. And yeah, I'm being petty. And sending love.
He might be a little busy. He's got all he's got those reviews to do now. I saw him doing some food reviews. He might be eating at a restaurant reviewing it.
Having breakfast somewhere, sunny side up egg. I also want to give love to my other co-host, April Kagea. I love you, girl. Y'all send some love out to her. Send her some positive just love on Facebook, or if you know her, shoot her a text. Life can be often challenging for us. That's just life. Life just be lifing sometimes. So anyway, that's my check-in. Ooh, you know what I want to check in with you guys about? Not that you care, but we will get to the tea. There's a lot of tea to talk about. Trump has been in office for 3 days. He has removed, what do you call it when they write executive orders or dismantle stuff? Yep. Is that what you call it?
Executive orders.
Just destroying America. The little bit that we had faith in is now gone, from immigrations to like wanting to and thinking about removing birthright rights of immigrants. So like basically if you're born here, having you move away or being removed, which is crazy. And I'm sure our Latino and Latina and Latinx folks who voted for him and supported him didn't think that he would come after your children. So, I mean, it's just stuff that I'm just like, Okay, so there's a lot of tea to talk about regarding Trump. So much so, I tried to stay away from Trump conversations because it's so daunting and so scary at the same time. And also, I would like to talk about local news. And if you guys aren't reading local news, check out Madison 365. They are constantly doing community news, local news, and I just really appreciate them. 99% of the time, I appreciate them. I'm gonna leave the 1% because as soon as you give somebody 100%, then there's a problem. So I'm gonna get them 99 cents, you know what I meant. Shout out to Henry Sanders, who's, I think he's the executive over there, and David Dahmer, one of my favorite journalists, one of my favorite white people. I have a few of y'all that I really rock with. So shout out to y'all. They're co-owners of Madison 365. But recently they dropped an article where they did, like, just asking people in the community about this charter school that's been on and in our conversation at Black Conversion Show over the last month. And I want to fill in the tea with you about that, because folks did not hold back in that article. And also, can we just talk about, Luke, why there's coyotes in Madison running around?
What?
You haven't seen the news?
I miss the coyote aspect. The last time I heard about a coyote, it was in the wake of the LA fires. They were talking about how coyotes are running around Los Angeles and the Palisades with all the houses that burned down. But that's, I did not know that we got coyotes
in
here.
In Madison, yep. And they're being spotted everywhere in the daytime. So check out NBC 15 news article about the coyotes. They give us suggestions on staying safe because it is a wild animal. So for my Black people, I think what they suggested was what they call hazing. So if you see a coyote, wave your hands, make noise, get loud, and throw objects towards them, but not at them. And if they start moving in the opposite direction, you're good. I didn't read further than that, so maybe I'll find out what happens if you're not good.
It's like, that's all you know. Do that. Just wave your arms, get real big, and that's it. Hopefully it'll work.
And scream and shout. But I was thinking, like, oh, Black people going to do that anyway, so you didn't even have to tell us. Because re-screaming is for white people. Hey, my white brothers and sisters, do not go pat the coyote. Do not bring them over. Do not try to make friends, because I've seen too many videos of folks trying to make friends with wild animals, and it just doesn't end well. And I often wonder, like, what are you thinking? Like, it is literally a wild animal. Don't talk to bears. Like, don't do it. Like, don't do it.
Great morning advice here. Don't talk to bears. Don't approach the coyotes.
Don't approach the coyotes. Just don't do it. Like, I just, oh my God, I just thought I had to say that. And just stay tuned, you guys, because I just got so much to say about Trump and all the stuff that is happening and the fact that he, oh my God, let's just stay tuned. You're tuned into the 90, you've tuned to 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show. Your host is with the mostest and the most tea. You don't want to miss this. So just return, okay? All right, be back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, your favorite girl is back, Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. Look at Luke with that funk.
I'm trying to vary up the music.
Okay, I like it.
I feel like I fell in a little bit of a rut at the end of last year, and I was using a lot of the same stuff over and over again. So I'm trying to vary it up a little bit.
Okay, ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay, you guys, so let's get to it. So there's so much going on in our world. I don't even know where to start. Do I start with Trump? Where do we start, Luke? Do we start with Trump?
It's hard not to start there this week. It's a tough week to avoid, but there's a lot of what Trump's doing that affects us here in Madison.
Like what?
The big one, I think, that's going to make the closest impact to folks here in Madison, in Dane County, in Wisconsin as mm-hmm. a whole, is the attack on birthright citizenship. I think a lot of the nonsense around, we're going to put a flag on Mars, we're going to take over Panama, we're going to take over Greenland, I think that's all kind of just noise.
Yeah.
I think an attack on birthright citizenship and who is and is not an American is a pretty big thing that needs to be focused on.
I think so too. But I think, like, what do we do? Can we even do anything? I mean, literally, we voted for this man. Like,
I didn't vote for him.
Yeah. Me neither, babe.
Hey, well, you said it that way. I was just—I needed to make sure we're on the same page. We, the collective, the country. I know what you mean.
The collective, like, we brought this man into office, and now we're trying to figure out how to survive him within, like, 3 days of him being in office.
Not even three full days.
Not even three. Like, and there was another executive order where there's 1 million immigrants sitting at the border that would have been let in if it wasn't for some CBD executive order. I don't even know what it stood for. I'm no help, am I? But anyway.
But CBO, I think, CBO. Is the Congressional Budget Office.
There we go.
The problem becomes there's a lot of people waiting for asylum.
Yep.
And part of the place that asylum claim seekers and people mm-hmm. trying to come to this country legally and get their claims processed, you have to go through an immigration judge. Like there's specifically a court, like outside of criminal, family law, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Like there is a immigration court and it is drastically underfunded and there's not enough judges or attorneys to hear all of these cases. And so essentially the new Trump administration is not funding those claims and not funding those legal means for people to come here to America, and that's going to be a lot of people turned away. So people that had their appointments scheduled, they saw they were scheduled through the internet portal that whatever, I believe, custom and border. Now I'm blanking on the acronym, but is it Border and Custom Patrol or Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, that way? There's so many acronyms.
There's so many acronyms. I don't be remembering, but I just think that I just wonder, like, what is wrong with us? And then I was reading a study that said even when people were faced with facts, their minds don't change. And I really think that's us, like, as a collective, not me as an individual. I think I'm a little smarter than that. However, but how can we, like, it makes, I want to rage out, but who do I rage out against? Like, what do we do? Like, the whole thing about people, let's vote for Trump because the price of eggs are going to go down. And now the price of our grandparents' prescriptions are going up because.
And the price of eggs are skyrocketing right now. Like, it's not even, the prescription drugs, eggs, there's a lot. Thankfully, here in Wisconsin, we have a governor and an attorney general that signed on to the lawsuit that came pretty much immediately after Trump's executive order attacking birthright citizenship. So here in Wisconsin, our top law officials are fighting
on it
in court. So there's, I want to say, like 18 states that have already signed on to that lawsuit.
Wow.
And it's going to be... It's not going to be up to the courts.
Wow.
So it is going to be kind of a waiting game, but that's the thing to stay focused on, I think.
And, you know, as a person known as Black, I'm always like, Wisconsin and Madison is the worst place to live if you're Black. But I have to say, thank you, Governor Ebers. At this moment, I am glad that I live here and glad I'm not in Texas in the snow, unprepared, or in Florida or Georgia. So I'm just going to focus my mind. That's what I've been trying to do. Focus my mind on positive things and humanity and the good in the world and the good people in the world, because there are good people in the world. And I will not allow this and the overflow of negativity on social media and the just everything to, like, make me feel like everything's hopeless, because it's not. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my producer, who I love.
Luke. I don't know. There's no, I don't have a hostess with the mostest.
Wait, it's Luke.
Tag. It's just Luke.
Luke, you are my, wait, is it Luke, you are, I am your father. Is that how it goes? Anyway, I bet you got that a lot growing up.
Oh, yeah. Growing up, one of the ways that my mom would call me on the phone, it'd be like, Luke, this is your mother. And she had kind of the most fun with it.
And laughing at you because she named me.
Yeah, she's just playing it up.
Oh, one of the executive orders signed by your boy Trump was the order of discontinue the advancing of racial equity and support to underserved communities through the federal government. And this worries me for a lot of reasons, because how does that affect budgeting? How does it affect funding? Is it How does it affect HUD funding and housing funding and homeless services? Y'all, this is a big deal. And when I think about it, I'm like, I bet you there's folks in nonprofit who voted for him. And in essence, we literally are voting ourselves out of work and jobs and support of the most vulnerable. It just feels so weird to be here in this time. I did not watch the inauguration on Monday, but what I did notice from a couple of memes is that there was like several people sitting there next to him, and the amount of money on that stage was in the trillions.
Yeah, more than $1 trillion represented in personal wealth of the handful of billionaires that were there.
And what just makes me wonder about our mindset and our spirits is what made us think that a handful of billionaires would ever consider what's important for folks who are working, right? Working class, middle class folks who get up every day and do what we can to push through, who have to make sure that we're budgeting our money to make sure we can send our kids to school, buy our houses, pay our taxes, pay our insurance, all maintenance our car, maintenance our furnace, and I think of maintenance of the furnace because I've never had a house and I just bought it. I'm like, I need an HVAC dude. Like, I need to do all these things that I had no consideration of before, you know, like, and as a middle class person, how do I continue to afford that given what we're looking at? So again, I'm gonna do my best. Not to get so overwhelmed by the thoughts.
And I think a lot of people were like, oh, he's just going to, you know, undo the bad things that Biden did that I don't like. But he's like, he went back and he revoked a 1960s executive order from like Lyndon B. Johnson that prevented federal contractors from discriminating in their hiring practices. Yep. That's gone now.
That's gone. So the thing that said you couldn't discriminate against women and you had to hire women, like you couldn't say, I'm not going to hire you because you're a woman, that's gone.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And can we just talk about how there's only two genders now? You know, like he's declared that in the United States, there's two genders, female, male. That's interesting, given that I think he's like 5-in-1, but that's a whole nother conversation. I just don't get it, y'all. Like, I get it, but I don't get it. I'm feeling anxiety just talking about it. So I'm going to change the subject. Let's just not talk about Trump no more, okay? Let's talk about other tea because I am over it. You are listening to 92.7 FM with the Black woman who's over it. I'm just over it. The Black Conversion Show. And we'll have more local tea when we return. So you don't want to miss this. Let's talk about what the heck is happening locally and how scared I am for us. Stay tuned. I like it, Luke. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest.
I don't know if Clyde and April know, but this is the one that goes out when they're not here.
Right.
Because it's Brandy herself.
And Luke.
Well, it's
there.
Me, myself, and I, Beyonce. So I like to play this one up for you when you're alone. Sorry.
Right, they just be leaving me all by myself. It's so sad. I know I didn't want to talk about President Trump anymore, but I just have to address the 1,500 people that he... Was it 1,500? How many people he pardoned?
It was close to 1,600.
Oh, my God. So these crazy folks raided the Capitol. Some even injured. People were murdered. And he literally pardoned all of them. They made threats to kill Democrats. They made threats to start a civil war. They've done a whole lot of things.
They made threats to kill Republicans, too. The gallows out front that day were for Mike Pence. The chants were, hang Mike Pence. Like, it was bad.
So, hey, police officers who supported Trump in his election, and I understand that the Fraternal Brother, is it called the Fraternal Brother Order or something like that?
Fraternal Brotherhood of Police.
Police. That sounds a little funky. That sounds a little cultish, don't you think? Fraternal Brotherhood, like they about to cut each other.
Isn't Fraternal and Brotherhood the same thing? It might be Fraternal Order of the Police. I'll have to look, because if it's a Fraternal Brotherhood, that's a little redundant.
Well, they want to emphasize who they is. who they be in the world, which is brothers, okay? And they are united, okay? But I know that they have spoken out against his decisions. And there's a Captain somebody, Captain Zassos. I don't know who this person is, but he basically said, like, dude, he just said, you're trying to set us up for the okie doke. And I don't get it. I don't get what... I don't even have words for it. I don't have words for it. So not only did he pardon these folks, we do realize that Trump himself is a felon. And does that mean that now he has immunity against all charges that was brought against him and any further charges, Luke?
So it's a really gray area. And it's been a gray area for the last 4 years, which is why I think like there are plenty of people that were like, we don't know what to do with this. But he's currently, as president, immune. I believe all of the federal cases that were pending against him got wrapped up before he got inaugurated this week. But there's still the theory that charges could be brought against him for state crimes in certain states if, one, he leaves the presidency again, but not during his time in the Oval Office.
Oh, my God,
y'all. So it's super confusing. It's super gray area.
A nightmare. But can we talk positive about Biden before he left? One of Biden's last acts before leaving office was he commuted the life sentence of indigenous activist my ability to pronounce names is so terrible. Leonard, I think that's his name. Leonard Petzer or Pitzer. Oh my God, please don't write the station and say I suck in my ability to. I just really do suck. Anyway, he was convicted of killings in 1975 of two FBI agents, and it has always been believed that it was a setup. Very similar to Black Panther movement activists during that time who were also set up for killings of police officers. And Biden also granted clemency to over 1,500 people, many of whom were on the nonviolent charges and some whom were awaiting executions. So shout out to Biden. At least he went out with a bang, okay? And I hope that he gets to enjoy relaxing somewhere on the beach. Maybe he'll go to Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico or something and chill on the beach for a while, because that brother, he definitely needed.
Well, if he wants to enjoy
it.
The beach time, he's got to go farther south than Florida, because right. they're still getting snow, apparently.
Yeah, you got to do better than that, Biden. So just moving on. It's just so sad. It's just sad. But anyway, moving on. In recent news, local news here in Madison, Wisconsin, if you're not aware, we're in the Dane County area. And in Madison, Wisconsin, there has been a lot of conversations around this charter school. For folks who are new to the conversation, there is a proposal to create a charter school that will, a high school that will house about 600 students. And the idea of this charter school is to develop... I think it's like trade students, to develop them for the trades. And they're proposing that this charter school takes place next year, and they will have 150 students to start, and then we'll add 150 students a year. So that's the proposal. The funder of this is the McKinsey. So I want you guys to understand what happened. So this is up for vote. I think for MMSD, they have to vote whether or not they'll allow the charter school to enter their district. If they do, the money that's assigned from the state and federal government to MMSD schools will have to be allocated to this charter school. Now, if they don't, then I think they also have a vote with UW. I don't know how that works. Do you know how that works? Like, whether it comes, if it's approved by MMSD or approved by University of Wisconsin?
I do not know. Then it's one of the hard parts following charter schools in the state, now that the vouchers and everything has been expanded, is there. It's kind of the wild, wild west. It's like you can get some approval here or there, and if you don't get it there, you can still... It's like when mom says no, you can still go ask dad, and it's like a whole thing. But it's a confusing process to follow, and I think that's kind of how some people wanted to set it up that way.
Yeah, and the thing about it, either way, we lose money in our district. So even if they don't get approved for MMSD, if they get approved through UW system of approving public schools or whatever, we still lose money. Now, another interesting fact about this charter school is that it is heavily tied to the workforce development facility built by the McKinseys and ran by the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. Now, the idea is that students will enroll in this school and then be filtered to the workforce development facility, which I think is a conflict of interest. And something very interesting to me is that the Boys and Girls Club have built many buildings, right? They're really good at raising the money, building these buildings. But can we talk about how they have not made any impact on our actually needs of our community, or like the building in Sun Prairie that I believe they spent millions on? I think it was $25 million. I don't know. Don't quote me. Y'all love to quote me. I have no idea what the exact number is. However, what has happened is because of the location of this building that the McKinseys, I'm sure, helped fund, is not getting the enrollment in the daycare that they need because of the location. There's no access to transportation. It's not in the community that's the most vulnerable. I had a conversation with a political figure in Sun Prairie. I won't tell you who it was because I don't want to get them into the conversation. However, what I will say is they asked for Urban Triage. Urban Triage is the nonprofit organization that I'm the CEO of. They asked us to do some community outreach and engagement to get people to enroll in a school. And I said, you probably should tell the Boys and Girls Club to do that since it's their daycare. So anyway, I have fears that the same thing is occurring with the workforce development building on Verona because accessibility, there's no accessibility. So when we talk about let's just address this. When we talk about programs that's built for the vulnerable, the number one thing you have to address is transportation. Transportation is such a big barrier for poor people who are surviving poverty. They don't have parents to drop them off and pick them up to after school programs and things like that. Or, you know, one, because we're working. Like, vulnerable populations, communities, folks are usually working two or three jobs. The people I employ have to work two or three jobs to get by. So they don't have the ability to go drop off kids, pick them up, and do all the things that we need and that was required for after school programming and even during the day programming. And transportation, for some reason, has not been a part of the budget line for some of these buildings. So what I believe, and this is my personal opinion, it may not be true, but this is my personal opinion, that what they're attempting to do is to fix the problem with enrollment at the workforce and development. So you could build this charter school, funnel all the children to them, and now you're up in business. But I just don't think it's okay to have a charter school that purpose is to make sure nonprofit program functions and works. So that's very interesting to me. So the other thing I want to mention with this charter school is that we have a charter school, One City, Black ran by Kaleem Care, who I have to say has done a fabulous job. I'm a little biased because my son does attend that school. But if you remember last year on this show, the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, I talked a lot about my son's experience at Wingra. My son always say the name wrong, but it's a private school located on Monroe Street. He had a terrible experience. It was his first year in school because he had been homeschooled, but he was in fights every day. There was microaggressions every day. They were always complaining about him. There was always something. And my son is a very happy, robustious kid, like I said. Me and his dad decided to switch him over to One City, and he has been blossoming. He has not had one issue, one encounter. He's the school leader, this class leader. Everything for him is wonderful. So I just want to say that One City works for Black children. I can say that for my children and other children and parents I've been in conversation with. And I also want to say that there has been hiccups along the way, because with anything, there's hiccups. And there have been parents who have been unhappy. But I could say from my experience, my son is doing amazingly well. So shout out to Kaleem Care and his team over at One City. And One City, according to the Madison 365 article, Kaleem, the head of the local school and the founder, he said that McKinsey, the funder of this proposed charter school, sought him out for advice and he welcomed it. And what he had said to him is that anyone who wants to get into this charter school thing needs to understand that it is a serious deal. He said, I told John, it's a noble idea, but you are educating kids to be you, or are you just educating kids to have jobs? We need to really educate our students to become developers and not just the laborers. They need to be educated to build buildings, to be architects. And I think that's one of the issues that a lot of people are having with the idea of the school, is the idea of building this school to build worker bees, when we know we need to create generational wealth. So that's something to consider too, as we think about this charter school. And there has been a lot of folks who are really bothered by their chosen, who do we call his, the their superintendent that they've chosen for the school. Do you know the guy's name?
No.
What is his name?
Like a principal or like a...
No, superintendent. Because don't they have to...
Your own superintendent for your own school?
Maybe. That's what they've been calling it in the newspaper article, superintendent. But maybe he's been a superintendent. I know that he had roles in New Orleans. He's been known to travel around the country, taking public schools and charter schools and privatizing them. So there's been a lot of controversy over him being chosen. And I hate that I cannot remember his name. And again, you're tuned
in. I'm going to try to pull it up.
Yeah, see if we can remember his name. And again, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. And the interesting thing is, you guys, check out Cap Times, who, by the way, I got beef with because the way they be writing about me. But however, I'm going to... They actually did pretty good in the last two articles. So shout out to y'all for y'all improving, okay? But they did drop an article about this dude who I can't remember his name, but Luke is about to look him up. But they dropped an article with concerns about his history as superintendent and the challenges that he's had and the problems that he's caused for poor and Black people and families. What is his name? Oh, I hate that. I hate that. I hate that for me that I can't. Vallas. Is that his name? That is Vallas. V-A-L-L-A-S. Did you find it?
Not yet, Paul but Vallas. I will confirm in a confirm
Paul
in a
Vallas. He's actually the chief consultant for the McKinsey's. So okay. That's what it is. He's not the superintendent. He's been the superintendent, but he's now the chief consultant. And Vallas has helped school privatize all across the country. But Pand, Leland Pand, who I worked with back in the day around social justice, he's now, I believe he's a social worker at La Follette High School, said he has concerns because he has a history, Vallas has a history of dog whistling campaigns, removing Black educators, going after homeless students, and costing taxpayers in Chicago and Philadelphia millions of dollars. And I believe Michael Johnson, who is the vice president of the board for this charter school, responded and saying Leland's articulation of Paul is ridiculous and it's not founded, and that he's not racist because he's never been racist against him. So part of my challenge with all of this politics is that... you know what? We got to just come back because I'm just getting too involved in this. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Stay tuned because I have a couple more thoughts on this darn charter school. Be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, you're back with me, your favorite hostess with the most, is Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. The Black Conversion Show is what you're tuned into. And prior to break, I was discussing this charter school and just some of the challenges and questions. One of the things that I have been talking heavily about on my show is that the tone, the words, and how folks have been addressing the populations they desire to serve, which is Black people, of course. And one of the things that was made evident in the Madison 365 article is they have not created the core curriculum yet. And John McKinsey, the dude who is funding this and pushing this and doing all the work for this, has said things like, well, we haven't gotten the core curriculum totally done. But what, you know, one of the statements he made is that we have a small group of people who are attacking the charter school, but for other reasons, but they haven't addressed our core curriculum. And I find that funny and entertaining at the same time, because we can't attack a core curriculum or address any concerns because you haven't given it. You haven't told us what it is. And one of the things he did mention is that, hey, in his Capital Times article, his interview, McKinsey said, we really think that we can be more effective with young people in poverty. So we're thinking about putting the school on the north side. Now, and that he said that the issues with poor people, and let's just say this is Black people, the issue with Black people, Black children, is that they're not motivated, right? Like they're not doing the things that they need to do. So this school will be designed to motivate them. And when folks have attended the community engagement sessions that he's had twice on Fridays at 5 o'clock or whatever, school administrators, folks from our school, our MTI, which is the Union for School Teachers, showed up and questioned him and said that his proposal was anti-Black. Like I said it first, and people on this show and a co-host said it, and then we had our white folks show up and say the same thing. Like, in order for you to understand how to address the needs of people known as Black and those folks who are experiencing poverty, you actually have to have an analysis of white supremacy and racism and institutionalized racism that contribute to the disparities in education. And when we asked them how you're going to address those institutional barriers that currently exist in most school design, he said that he didn't know. Like, he just kind of avoided the question. So that's my biggest issue. And my second issue is that he has not addressed the concerns, no matter how many interviews he do. Like, let's go back to our mayor. It's one thing to get complaints about not plowing right in the snow. It's another thing to act like those complaints didn't happen and you don't address it. So at the beginning of the show, I said, shout out to our mayor because she heard the complaints and people being who they were and being bullies and turned around and pre-planned for the snow and the season and made sure we're better equipped for our snowfall. This dude, instead of addressing it, dismisses the folks who have addressed the concerns and brought up the concerns and basically said, hey, there's just a small group of people. We're not worried about those other concerns. We're just going to focus on our curriculum. But your curriculum has to be designed with an equity lens if you are serving the people you say that you want to serve. And that's my biggest issue. Just figure out a plan, McKinsey. And the Black people you have around you should be encouraging you to figure out a plan and giving you the tools and the conversations. You guys should be creating strategies to figure out a plan. That's it. Figure out a plan. Don't dismiss the questions around institutionalized racism or the anti-Blackness, and your words, the way that you respond and your articles are anti-Black and you don't even know it. Now, the thing about the white folks I hang out with, and I hang out with a lot of them, when there is things that occur that's not okay, I say to my white people, hey, that ain't okay. And this is how you can address that. And you know what my white people do to me in return? They also say, hey, that thing that you did, it's not how we get to the other side. And I, you know, let's do this differently. That's how we relate. That's how we have relations. And that's why I trust my people. And that's why they trust us. And if you have a team of people around you that's our yes you, yes man, and yes master, whatever you need, let's make this happen, versus holding you accountable, it lays the foundation of what's the opposite of integrity, Luke, when you don't have integrity? Out of integrity? There has to be a more fancy word for that.
Disingenuous?
Disingenuous. I need something stronger.
Okay.
But we'll come up
with
that.
I'm going to hit
later.
The thesaurus. Let me think.
But it just lays the foundation of you not achieving the things that you say you want to achieve, which is community engagement, community involvement, centering the most vulnerable, centering the most disenfranchised, the folks who are experiencing the disproportional gaps in education. You have to address the concerns. We also have folks from the school board that has voiced their concerns and say, if you're talking about Black students, then you need to have these things in place. You need to make sure you have community in the school. And then some of their responses is, oh, we have this Black person and this Black person that's on our board. But let's talk about let me just say this real quick, you guys, for my listeners who love the Black Conversion Show and others who listen because you can't stand me. All skin folks ain't skin folk, okay? Like, you can't just put people on your board because they're Black, brown, Asian, or Latino and say, hey, I got people of color. That's also racist. It's tokenizing folks. Choose people who are close to the people you want to serve. Choose them. Choose the folks who are working in the schools, who are with the kids, hearing their concerns. When you guys attempted to do a youth engagement session for the school and asking youth what they thought, you literally asked youth to come to you on a Friday at 5 o'clock. any community engagement person who works with youth would have told you that's a bad idea, buddy. And if you wanted to do a community engagement, go to the schools. Do a traveling thing at each school, after school program. Like, hey, can I show up at your Black Student Union meeting? Can I hold a luncheon and provide students with lunch and gift cards? You don't build the table and ask people to come to the table and then ask them to come. No, that's not what you do. When you're building the table, you invite them to build the table with you so that the legs of the table have integrity and they have the pillars to stand and withhold the complaints and the issues that you've found so far. I'm going to leave it at that. But I just am so bothered. I'm bothered by how our community responds to people with money. It reminds me of Trump, how we all just let this billionaire become the president of the United States because somehow we thought this man was going to look out for the most vulnerable and Black people. And to hear Black people talking about, I voted for Trump and this is the reason why, and for COVID money. Are you an idiot or not? And that's how I feel with this charter school. And of course, this is my personal opinion, and take it or leave it, I don't care, right? This is my platform. I get to say it and do it. You can call the radio station and complain like you guys always do, but they good with it. So I just want to say, like, my Black people, hold the people accountable so that we are addressing the needs of our kids. If you're going to have a successful school, you have to have the people who are the closest with our kids there to say, we need this. We need trauma-informed care. We need analysis and training around racism, institutional racism, misogyny, patriarchy. We need to understand what kids really need. You need transportation. You need wraparound supports, not just for the kids, but for the parents. A lot of the kids are trying to survive a home that's unsafe. How can they focus on school? Again, if you want more advice, contact Brandi Grayson at urbantriage.org. I got more for you. Again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Stay tuned. Join me next week, same time, same place, 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Peace, love, and hair grease, y'all.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.